God damn it! My life has value!
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of U of Treadmill Radio. Today is April the 17th, 2012. And tonight our topic is going to be, people who are easily persuaded or misled or ill-informed, who think they're doing right by the Republic or trying to restore freedom or preaching about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, natural rights, things like that. And, well, they actually become more destructive to the purpose of the cause than their actual good. I try to refrain from calling anybody out their derogatory names like sheeple or useful idiots or patriotards or anything like that. So, you know, I purposely left that out of the description, you know, just because somebody is a quote-unquote useful idiot now does not mean that they cannot see the light. But in going along with the other broadcasts we've been doing, I think this is an important subject. We've discussed informants amongst us. We've discussed infiltration. You know, there's a whole other breed of people out there, though, as well. And, they are commonly referred to as useful idiots. Again, like I said, I personally don't like these words, sheeple or anything like that. You know, I think that everybody has a learning curve out there. And some people might think that they're actually on the right path until somebody else comes along and shows them that they're actually treading upon the wrong path or that their line of thought is incorrect. You know, somebody had told me once that there's no such thing as a bad student, just bad teachers. So perhaps, you know, it's our fault. Again, you know, I like to shoulder the blame for a lot of things out there myself. You know, if Congress has gotten away and they've become corrupt and they've tread upon us, then that is our fault because we let them. You know, if your children misbehave and act like brats out in public, it's not the children's fault. That is the parents' fault. So maybe it's our fault here as well with these people who are easily swayed and diverted or do things that are detrimental to our cause. You know, those who walk through crowded playgrounds, if you will, or parks with their AK-47 in full camo and stuff because they have to push upon people their freedom of their right to keep and bear arms. So that's what tonight's subject is going to be about. It's also going to be about following lawful orders and laws, which goes hand in hand with this as well. You know, we often talk about our freedoms. We often talk about our rights. And yet we go along with this whole machination of these globalists, and we still obey their unlawful regulations, their unlawful administrative regulations, their unlawful laws, their unconstitutional laws. You know, so I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about that tonight as well. So those are going to be the subjects we're going to be covering tonight. Maybe help get these people to become useful again instead of having them tread upon the wrong path. And at the same time, though, a lot of these people, you know, they, and I had a conversation the other day, or I had an individual having a conversation with me, and apparently I'm not a good American, you know, because I am not a taxpayer. You know, if you go and you look at my individual master file with the IRS, it's empty. Why is that? Because I'm not a taxpayer. But therefore, I'm not a good American either, according to this person. A good American pays their taxes. I wonder what the Founding Fathers would have thought about that. to answer your question real quick, 11th, I don't want to jump into the private chat there, but the answer is no. So kind of off subject there, but the answer is no, 11th. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening in. I see a lot of the old, see a lot of really familiar faces. A lot of you people I've spoken to many, many times, and I've always enjoyed our conversations here. you know, the people that we get in the chat room, I like to call, I tend to think that I gather around me a different breed of patriot. And, especially those who come in the chat room, you know. The numbers in the chat room don't really reflect our true numbers. You know, we probably have we have around 10 times the number of people listening, actually about 20 times so far tonight, on an average broadcast than we do in the chat room. But those people that do come in the chat room, I must say, they are truly a different breed of patriot. They stand apart from the typical patriot out there. You know, I can say that all men are created equal, but not all patriots are equal, and that's a sad thing. You know, what I could do with 10,000 people just like you guys out there in this community, in my county, in my state, what a start I could get off to. I have seen some of the most intelligent, some of the most thought-provoking conversations going on in this chat room. I have seen people who actually get and understand the concepts of what those Founding Fathers were discussing. Even though some people don't agree with the Constitution, whatever it is, it's the very thoughts of freedom, natural law, man's right to be free. The concept that government works for the people and is a creation of the people and therefore can never enslave the people. So I want to thank each and every one of you that's listened in. And that have promoted this show. For all the work you guys have done, for those of you who have helped out, it's been a long week. I'm on information overload right now. I just finished training for a new position, business development, in an industry I'm completely unfamiliar with. So you have to excuse me. I'm a little bit frazzled now. I've actually got info overload. Go figure that one out. I've actually reached a limit now where my brain is reaching the fuel, where the fuel gauge says full. you know, but we have all these laws that we supposedly are supposed to follow as well and that we have to obey in order to be good Americans. And I see so many patriots out there who still, you know, they demand their freedom. They become indignant when they discuss the government and what the government has done to them. They become outraged and yet they still comply. So that we'll be discussing that as well. I think the two subjects go hand in hand. So, Sleepy, you there with me?
I'm right here, Randy. Thank you for having me back on.
So joining me tonight is going to be Sleepy. I brought him on. It's kind of a subject we were discussing, a couple of weeks ago when we were going over a list of show ideas and kind of divvying up what kind of shows we were thinking about doing on the, you know, for the U of Tredemy team here. And this was what I was going to take myself, but, you know, I thought it might be have a couple different perspectives on here. You know, not everybody agrees with me on everything I say, but we agree on the big parts. And, you know, I think different perspectives go hand in hand with each other. You know, it's only through debate and conversation that we actually find truth. You know, that we actually find solutions. Not every one person out there, not any one person out there has all the answers. I have a couple. Sleepy might have a couple. You know, Scary Carrie Tomahawk might have a couple. Kelly. Evenhand's got a couple. You know, all these people have a couple of solutions up their sleeve. You know, if we can just delve into all of these solutions and start putting them together, we might actually just become free. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? So before we get started, we're broadcasting now on uoftredemy.com and also on truthfindersnetwork.com. My chat room is you can get under the chat room there on both pages. So if you have any questions at all whatsoever, you can jump in on either one of the chat rooms at truthfindersnetwork.com or uoftredemy.com. We also have a toll-free number. Kelly, can you pop that toll-free number in the chat room for me so I can read it off, if you wouldn't mind? I'd appreciate that. I should have gotten this beforehand. All these new numbers and figures and terms and glossary definitions. Ah, let me tell you, I'm getting info overload. So we're going to get the chat. We'll get the number here posted in a second. I'll let everybody know. So if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, you can post them in the chat room. You can Skype in. If you have Skype, just let me know. Make sure I have you as a contact on Skype. If I don't, just put your Skype name in the chat room. And if you want to call in, the call in number is 615-713-1098. And Skype is at Truthfinders Network. Truthfinders Network. That's the Skype name for those who want to come on through Skype. So with that being said, let's talk about people who believe they're doing right and just constantly seem to hurt those that they're actually trying to help. So you want to go ahead and start us off with this, Sleepy? It was kind of because we were having this discussion a little bit earlier today. So you want to go ahead and start off on this one, and I can kind of jump in there here in a second?
Yes, of course. And it's true. You know, it's think about this, guys. You know, whenever there are folks who join organizations, groups, movements, what have you, there is a tendency whenever there is some malfeasance or possible malfeasance that the first thing that they want to go for is, oh, you're controlled opposition. You're an agent. You know, we've heard this ad nauseum. You're an agent. You talked about violence. You talked about something, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter what it is. They'll just say, you're an agent. You're an agent. You're an agent. Okay, well, here's the problem. That's not always true. Maybe what you're dealing with is someone who is well-intentioned but is highly misguided or kind of like what I mentioned in that Homeschooling for Dissidents episode, folks who did not get a very good education and therefore don't know how to think. So you may just be dealing with something like that where it's a genuine problem. There are no handlers, there's no spies, there's nothing like that. It's just somebody who has, you know, their heart in the right place, sort of, and is kind of bumbling about. And unfortunately, by bumbling about, they're just causing more harm than good. And so if that is the case, then technically you might have a chance to work with them. Unfortunately, though, this is not always true in all cases, especially if they're already overly emotionally invested in a particular method or technique that they think will help restore their liberties or otherwise help someone else. And even if you show them evidence, show them pictures, documents, footage, whatever all the evidence is, that that particular method doesn't work, either in general, in a historical sense, or in that limited context within which they're working. If they're really overly emotionally invested, they will not listen to reason, and then they'll say, you're bad. But then it would also be kind of irresponsible for you guys if you think that just because they are acting pretty freaking strange, that they're somehow a plant. That could be the case, but it could also be the case, too, that they're just, you know, they're genuine, but they're, you know, kind of not all the marbles were rolling up there. So that's kind of something, too, you have to consider. You know, people make mistakes, and other times it could also be a self-aggrandizement issue like we've mentioned on previous broadcasts, which could very much play into it. So, again, there's no handlers or anything like that. It's just somebody who wants their 15 minutes of fame. That's another possible reason where you still have a problem, but it's not because they're controlled opposition. It's some other problem going on. that's more, shall we say, interpersonal or more genuine in the sense that they're not wittingly helping the enemy. Let's put it that way. So there, it would kind of behoove all of us to be very careful when we're trying to figure out when there are people that are not doing certain things that are either right or correct or whatever the case is, to kind of figure out why. And most importantly, to have proof. I think it's fair to say that it's not intellectually honest to claim that XYZ individual or organization group, what have you, is controlled opposition, which means that they work for the bad guys, without proof. Because, Randy, I've seen that happen too many times. So-and-so is controlled opposition. They work for the XYZ alphabet soup boys. And then no proof materializes. Now, that doesn't mean that the original concern about XYZ individual or group doing something harmful or carelessly or whatever the case is, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's no legitimacy to that, but it's kind of jumping the gun. You know, it could be there's all these other possible causes.
You know, it seems like that's always been the Saul Alinsky favorite tactic amongst us patriots. You know how much I hate our vernacular. You know, for instance, you know, we just had some. We had an anon on here earlier from Outcasts and Outlaws and Outcasts named Jimmy Wynn. Well, I'm assuming it's Jimmy Wynn because Jimmy Wynn runs that forum, and Jimmy Wynn comes over here and he posts a lot of stuff like that. And you know, the foundation of his thing with me is the fact that, you know, he doesn't like the things that I have to say. He believes in open borders and free trade, much like that individual we had on the chat room last week, you know, who wants open borders and free trade. And I kept pointing out, we have that now. How's it working out for you? We have 30 million illegal aliens that are up here. We have an immigration, you know, we have over 1 million immigrants coming in every year from vastly different cultures, third world nations primarily, who come here and end up on our welfare rolls, compete with Americans for, you know, compete with natural born Americans who, you know, natural born citizens and Americans who, for jobs that do not exist in America anymore. And yet we keep bringing them in. Our immigration policy doesn't work, you know, but this person was a proponent of it, just like Jimmy Wynn, you know. So when you disagree with them, next thing you know, they start slandering you because all they have left to fall back on, because they can't argue with your facts or with anything you're saying. So all they have to fall back on then is Saul Alinsky tactics of slander, defamation of character, attack the individual, not his discussions, if you can't beat him. And that's been, you know, tried and true throughout the ages. You know, if you can't beat somebody in a good debate, well, you just start attacking them. You know, if you start screaming traitor or rapist or racist or anything like that, it really doesn't matter what that individual is saying. It doesn't matter anymore because the crowd will start to edge away. And that's always been a favorite tactic, you know, of the Saul Alinsky types out there, including many of us so-called patriots out there. You know, we as soon as we don't like somebody, we just start denouncing them and defaming them, you know. So, of course, you know, like me, I'm supposedly Canadian CSIS, which is their version of CIA. I'm a member of the CIA. I'm a member of the FBI. I'm supposedly, what else was there, man? COINTELPRO, which is the FBI. I guess that's a redundancy there, though, FBI, COINTELPRO. That's a redundancy, though, because COINTELPRO was FBI. You know, but all these things, you know, so we end up causing conflict and fights amongst, you know, this little community that we have here, people that supposedly want freedom and are trying to work towards it. And let's see how these people are, you know, fall into that category. You know, I hate the definition again, you know, but useful idiots. You know, even though they might be lying and everybody knows they're lying, what about the new people that are coming in? You know, new people that are just stepping up and saying, you know what, I see the light. I see the light, and, you know, I'm kind of obsessed, and I'm going to get online. I'm going to start trying to find some information. and they see all this stuff going on. And this person's a Fed, and that person's a Fed, and this is going on over here, and that person's a CIA, and this person's a disinfo agent, and this person's COINTELPRO. And that's their first whiff of what they get from the Patriot community, is this infighting and slander and defamation of character. And they all run away. And then in the end, all you're really left with is those people who stick it out online, and you got a bunch of crazy people online, unfortunately, and you got a bunch of people who have no life outside of the online community. And, you know, online, they're, you know, patriot gods and heroes in their own mind, if you will. You know, and in reality, they're nothing more than people who lack a life of any sort in general in the real world. They're not really trying to do anything productive. They're not doing anything productive on, you know, in the brick and mortar world that, you know, reality is, I like to call it, the real world. So are they, you know, do they hurt the cause? Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, if you talk to as many people as I've talked to over the last 5 years of doing this broadcast, so many of them were getting ready to leave or have left, you know, the online world, or have stopped dealing with things in general just because of the people that they've run into, you know, the people in the past, you know, like the Jim Stacks of old, who, according to Jim, you know, everybody in the Patriot community is, you know, disinfo and COINTELPRO and FBI except him. You know, so there you go.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense, because if he was right, then what? Does that mean he's like a one-man organization movement thing? I mean, that because if that's the case, I mean, that's literally what he would be implying.
Well, you know, hey, I'm not trying to rationalize crazy here, so.
I'm just saying.
How do you rationalize crazy? I mean, we could try and get into that all day long, but, I mean, how do you rationalize crazy? So, you know, who are they useful then towards? You know, they say that every person out there has a use. And whether that use is for good or for bad is up to that individual and their mental fortitude, if you will, their personality traits, their convictions, their ethics. You know, and there are those who can take people, like those ones we've just talked about, and use them for destructive means towards what they say they're supposedly trying to work towards. And some of these people might actually be their agenda. You know, we've got programs out there. I've been reading about programs from the DOD. And, you know, one program allows one individual to basically create 6 or 7 different AI personalities, you know, artificial intelligence personalities. They're all programming, of course. I mean, it's not true artificial intelligence. But they actually develop personality, if you will, persona. They can discuss, you know, these scripts, if you will, can actually discuss local news and events on wherever it is that they say they're from, so forth and so on. You know, but some are actual real, you know, but a lot of these are real live actual people who are misled, misguided, narcissistic, selfish and petty, if you will. But they still have their uses, whether their use is going to be for good or for bad, though they are used. Even if they're unknowingly used or not even actively being used, just the fact that they are destructive in their very nature makes them useful to those that would keep our freedom from us.
Right. And that's the other kind of thing is that kind of other question of who, I mean, exactly who would they be useful to? And here's the, you know, interesting thing is the notion of wittingly versus unwittingly helping the enemy. Obviously, it is fair to say that controlled opposition, real true controlled opposition, are those individuals and organizations who wittingly help the enemy. They know exactly what's going on, and they're still choosing their side, I guess you could say, very consciously, versus those who, whether through some layer of malfeasance or carelessness or self-aggrandizement or whatever the issue is, unwittingly help the enemy by default. So they go around and slander a bunch of folks for no good reason. That unwittingly helps the enemy too, even if they're not on the payroll.
Well, you know, it's not even just the people that are, you know, it doesn't have to be people that are causing strife and conflict and whatever it is amongst the quote-unquote patriots out there. You know, it can be those that are easily swayed by fantasy info, if you will. You know, David Icke's alien reptoid. My God, I can't tell you how many, you know, how many patriots believe that stuff. And, you know, and he spins this wonderful tale and he presents all these half-truths, which he then compiles into this fictional detail, and he gives, and he, you know, 99%, you know, 90% of what he says is actual fact, you know, as far as government, you know, corruption and things like that go. But then he throws that last little spin on it, man, and brings in the alien reptoid Masonic bloodlines and all this other stuff. So now you got people who are out there preaching that. I know they're not trying to do harm, but they're distractions. They distract from the truth. You know, they're leading other people that might be new or people that are just as easily swayed or confused. They're leading them off on, you know, tangents where there is no solution, where basically you can chase your tail for the rest of your life looking for, you know, the truth in this, or, you know, trying to find that one little bit of fact that you can actually grab onto, and, you know, 100 years later you're still chasing after that fact. You know, kind of like the JFK assassination. You know, how many hundreds of books and articles and things have been written about that, and 50 years later we still don't know what the truth is. And you think of all those hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of man hours spent by all these people who have written those things and read those things and read all of those things and investigated it. How much more productive could their time have been if they had actually had worked on something that we can actually affect and control today?
Exactly. Time is a very key aspect of control. Just like with people spending so much of their time, especially those of the mainline public who still do this, but spend, you know, hours and hours and hours per day watching TV or whatever the average is. Similarly, once you get across that line, getting passed out of the left-right paradigm, and you go more into the alternative media type stuff, you have to be careful there too, because, again, what if they get you focused on it's not just stuff like the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati, which is the proper name, but also, you know, various other things. I mean, does really spending, you know, days, weeks, and months on the Anunnaki or red dresses or, you know, or one of my favorites is occult symbology, does that really help move the case for liberty forward? I'm serious. Like, how many times, guys, has, especially if it's a dude on the newer side and then he tries to do some outreach effort with other people, especially the mainline public, how many times has someone said that, oh, dude, you look in the back of the dollar bill and you can see the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid, man, it's creepy. It's the symbol of the New World Order. And, of course, the big joke is actually, you know, the real history actually has to deal with the Eye of Horus. But, you know, that's a subject for another time. The point is, why are they even spending any time on it?
Well, because, you know, again, we need, you know, I think that we actually, you know, I think that people by their very nature, they need some kind of strife or conflict. They need to feel as if they're, well, actually, you know, man, to be honest with you, some people just need that fantasy world to live in. You know, they need the soap opera. They do. They need a soap opera, man. You know, why do you think soap operas have been on TV for so long?
Yeah, exactly. They just will never. You know, the funny thing about soap operas, Randy, is that they're like, they literally are the television shows that will never die. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's not just, you know, the Spanish language ones. I mean, think of the Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless, and the rest of them. As the World Turns. How long have these soap operas lasted? It's just, they will never die. And in a lot of ways, some of these fictions are very persistent in their legendary mythology, so to speak, to be a little bit at the risk of sounding a little bit redundant. It's, you know, fascinating too. Also, guys, pay attention to whoever is spinning tales or claiming it's the truth. Use the following as kind of a, I guess you could say, a somewhat ad hoc litmus test. ask yourself if whatever you're being told, if at the end of it you get a sense that that there's nothing you can do about it. Ask yourself at the end of it, if you have a feeling or a logical thought or however it comes across to you, that you somehow can't do anything about it. The reason I say that is, you mentioned, Randy, you mentioned the reptilian thing. Let's use that as a, let's put that on the chalkboard, so to speak.
I just went to the chalkboard. I got it. Reptoids.
Okay, reptoids. Now,
ancient alien hybrid reptile bloodlines. There we go.
Or robot thingy.
Reptoids. Yeah, there we go. We got the ichthyoids.
Right. Okay. Let's use that as the case study for the class here. Okay. Well, at the end of it, can you really do anything about the reptilians? Really? I mean, consider one of the big data points, which was, remember, they exist outside the range of visible light, which means you can never see them. And so they exist outside the range of visible light, and they are attached to some humans, in this case the globalists or whatever, and then there's the red dress thing, which doesn't make any sense, but anyway. But the point is you can't see them. So you can't shoot them, you can't stab them, you can't punch them. There's no real military type of context that will help you there. You also can't directly speak to them in any real way, at least that I'm aware of, so there's no communication that can happen in a more diplomatic or political sense. So technically, from what I'm aware of, and there's also no scientific way to really get in contact with them either, as far as I'm aware of. So any which way you look at it, us human beings can't do anything about these reptilians who are harming all of us. So assuming that those data points are correct, and assuming that my reasoning is cogent, and cogent meaning it's rationally valid and whatever, then assuming that my reasoning is cogent, what that would mean is, as the conclusion, is that we can't do anything about the reptilians. Now, okay, that may be the case, but then why bother telling us? That's almost like saying the sky is blue, and the guy who made the sky blue, or the people who made the sky blue, come once a year to come kill your children or something. It's like, well, what can you do about the guys who made the sky blue? I mean, again, it's the same thing. Why bother telling people all this horrible stuff is happening, and then, oh, by the way, you can't do anything about it? What do you think? What kind of effect do you think that produces? It's definitely not one that engenders a sense of self-determination and a will to resist, I'll tell you that much.
You know, we can even get closer to heart. You know, the other day I walked into the popped into the chat room at uacredemy.com, and there was an individual in there who was talking about Jesuit global conspiracy to take over the world, and you know, this wasn't the plot of the this New World Order 15.0 wasn't the work of Cecil Rhodes and Lord Rothschild and Lord Milner at the royal family's behest to bring about the new British Empire, the new Anglo-American establishment, but was created by the Jesuit priests, you know, the Black Pope, to take over the world. And, you know, there's all kinds of things. You know, they use a lot of semi-facts and half-truths, you know, but again, you know, it comes down to the point, can you do anything about it? Can you actually even prove it? I mean, you know, you got half-truths and everything. You know, you got some facts, some truths, some conjecture. But can we actually prove this? And is it something that we can actually alleviate today? Is that a problem or a solution that we can actually engage upon? Is there something that we can work with? I mean, we have to get rid of all the Catholics, I guess. Well, that's banning a whole entire culture of people. From many different cultures, actually, you know, an entire religion, you know, and instead of trying to focus on the two things that are important, that Declaration of Independence and those Bill of Rights, our concept of freedom, we start engaging in things that don't matter. You know, we can grasp our freedom at any minute of any day that we want to. We can grab it. We can hold it. We can feel it. We can touch it. We can say, I am free, and engage upon it. You know, but you know, this individual has obviously spent years you know, delving deep into the Jesuit religion and all the, you know, the Jesuit priests and all this other stuff. And again, you know, the solution is this. It's very simple. You know, we clean up our country. We restore our constitutional lawful government. We don't have to worry about the Jesuits. We don't have to worry about the communists or the socialists or the globalists or the Earth Mother worshippers or anything like that. We don't have to worry about these types of individuals or these organizations that want to take your freedom. Why? Well, because our country will be fixed. And they won't be able to exist in that kind of type of environment. So let's fix the problem instead of focusing on those, you know, myriad half-truths and everything else. So again, though, you know, by the amount of time and the effort and energy that they spend working on this, diverted from actually working on solutions, they become useful as well, but just not to us. They become destructive when they, you know, when they snare a net, all these people that are coming in, that are jumping online every day and trying to find out facts and info, and they snatch them up in their snares and the nets, and they're like, oh my God, look at this. This is kind of true. You know, this sounds feasible. I mean, they're giving me all these grand facts and things like that. And then they get diverted over there, and they start focusing on solutions. And now we've taken an individual who might have been very useful to us and diverted him now to being unuseful to us for the time being, perhaps, or maybe forever. And they're useful towards other organizations now. You know, it's, you know, and again, you know, I try to not to think that everybody, you know, that there's nobody out there who is lost beyond hope. You know, hell, I even think that, you know, a year with Holdren in my, you know, a year with Holdren being forced to listen to me and debate with me, I might even be able to convert that man to rational, logical thinking again and unindoctrinate him. But then again, who knows? You know, but I always like to believe that there is hope for everybody out there. I'm an idealist, though.
Yeah, of course. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, a lot of things that we need to focus on have to deal with recruitment and retention. And like on previous podcasts that I've done on my own thingy or whatever, one of the kind of common questions I ask, especially of new guests, is, you know, what do you think could be done to improve the Patriot or Liberty movement, especially in terms of recruitment and retention? And obviously, depending on who is answering, they'll have different recommendations and that sort of thing. But, you know, something I've noticed is the newer guys are very much attracted to any sort of alternative media rhetoric that has a new age spin on it. And obviously, the archetype for that is, of course, Mr. David Icke. And, you know, there was a podcast I did. It was actually number 38 where I gave my 5 cents on him, and that was my pre-Creative Commons era, so I think you guys can know what I mean by that. And it's not publicly available. You would have to get in contact with me if you want a copy. But the point is that the guy's got, I'm sure he's well-meaning. And, you know, so he'll, you know, wax eloquent about how basically both sides of World War II were pretty much funded by the same people or whatever, and the Union Banking Corporation and blah, blah, blah. And that's cool, man. A lot of that is empirically and objectively verifiable. But then you get into the other stuff. And I find this intriguing, Randy, because the hole in the clincher of the really more, I'm going to be nice here, let's call it metaphysical. The more metaphysical stuff, I've always was like, what's the source citation? And, you know, again, one time when I was in Barnes & Noble, I found one of his books in the New Age section. And anybody that watches any of his lectures online on YouTube, because there's two major ones that are up there, On the Cutting Edge and Lion Sleeps No More. And you might as well just watch Lion Sleeps No More, because it's basically the same thing as Cutting Edge with a few things added. It's just that you guys don't have to waste your time with redundancy. But what I noticed about the source citation for the more, let's say, metaphysical things is we're what? A bunch of shaman? Different kinds of shamans? And that's his primary source citation, at least from what I could gather? And that's fact? And that's supposed to be on equal footing in terms of facts as again, like the Union Banking Corporation during World War II, funding the Axis and the Allies and the IBS, the International Bank of Settlements. I mean, just like, really? I mean, maybe he's just being sloppy. I mean, I love it. Like when he opens his seminars or speeches or whatever you want to call it, you know, he always says about this has been the result of 20, 30 years of research or whatever the time frame is. But then for a good portion of that, it would seem, at least to me initially, that for those more metaphysical things, he gets really sloppy. I mean, some of it's kind of okay when he especially starts quoting physicists about vibrational whatchahoosits, but then you get into the reptilians, red dresses, and, you know, and also that lovely phrase he likes to wax eloquent about, which is, infinite love is the only truth, and everything is an illusion. Really? Okay, if you say so, I guess. But even if that's the case, again, what does that have to do with her? I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost as if I want to learn how to play golf. So what can help me learn how to play golf? And it's like, well, first we're going to discuss how the grass grows because of the sun and chlorophyll. And then we're going to take you down to Denny's and so we can teach you how to order a menu. And then after that, you're going to go finger paint in your bedroom. I was like, okay, that's nice, but what does that have to do with teaching me how to play golf? And logically, that's kind of the same thing going on here, at least from what I can tell. If somebody can prove me wrong, cool. I would love to hear it. But, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and unfortunately, I haven't really thought of any other explanation other than a mixture of good stuff, you know, a combination of good stuff mixed in with a bunch of other things that are not that really aren't that verifiable for the most part, or at least sloppily so. You know, for somebody who claims that this is his life's work, I mean, I'm just not that impressed with the portions that are pretty wacky. I'm just saying. I mean, I've seen, I've seen homeschoolers that are of high school age do a better job citing sources with some things. I mean, it's pretty bad. So I don't know what's going on there. And again, he's probably just well-meaning and that sort of thing. And, you know, I don't want to rip on him too much because, again, look at all the other New Age-ish type folks with covering Roswell and the UFOs or whatever, and the government is covering stuff up. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't the important part be that the government's covering stuff up? That's a terrestrial issue. Why don't you focus on that? Maybe if they're covering that up, presuming that that is a genuine issue in the first place, maybe they're covering other stuff up that actually is more important. But then they never really get past that, and next thing you know, we're dealing with, you know, the grays or whatever. And then you get so spun off into whatever the mystical thing is this time that you might as well be dealing with the plot of a TV, like was mentioned in the chat room earlier, like that television show V. I mean, at some point, it starts sounding like exactly the same thing. You know, just saying.
Well, you know, it's, again, you know, the easiest way to confound people is through information overload. You know, when you have 10,000 people out there claiming 10,000 different stories, and, you know, only a handful of them are actually based upon verifiable fact and evidence, yet all of them, yet all these other people are selling a product, you know, so they make sure it sounds feasible and sounds viable, because they have to, you know, because they got to sell their books or whatever. It is, you know, their videos and their t-shirts and their, you know, their speaking engagement tickets to go see them and go meet the new messianic.
The latest speech thingy he's doing, they charge a pretty pound, I'll tell you that much. All you guys got to do, go to davidite.com and check, don't buy anything, but check the ticket prices for whatever the latest thing is, and you'll see the prices that pop up. It's pretty bad.
You know, so again, you know, there are some people out there that are in this for profit. Patriot profiteers, you know. I mean, look at every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry who comes out, man, and they've got the newest and greatest solution for you, but it's only going to cost you $19.95. Well, shit. You know, $19.95, man, hell, that's worth my freedom. Let's go get that. I can, you know, my freedom is worth $19.95. You know, I mean, so people jump on it, man, because people look for hope. They're so confused. They're trying to find answers in any which way they can grasp them. And unfortunately, these people who intentionally mislead, you know, or don't present all the facts, they do a lot more damage than they do good. You know, let's take Alex Jones, for instance. You know, Alex Jones supposedly has a listening base of 6 million people. Good for him. A lot of the people out there that are, you know, that have woken up, that have seen through the fog, if you will, and saw and are actually looking for truth, you know, part of them, you know, a decent percentage of them probably came, you know, were Alex Jones listeners. But anybody who's listened to Alex Jones for any amount of time and actually questions what he does or looks into the facts that he presents finds out that, you know, maybe half the stuff he says is fact. When he tells you to go look it up, he's banking on the fact that you won't. But then again, there's people like me. I'll go and research everything. I research everything. I'm not taking his word for it. I go find it. You know, unfortunately, you can't find, you know, you're shooting, it's a 50-50 crapshoot there with him, you know. So in a sense, you know, he's doing some good, but then again, you know, he's spinning a whole lot of garbage out there, you know, he brings on David Icke. You know, again, let's look at what misinformation is and disinfo. You know, we have people out there who feed false info, which isn't, you know, and that's intentional. Those people that they feed it to unintentionally feed it out to more and more people. And it, you know, it's like compounding interest. It just grows by the minute. Then you've got misinfo agents, you know, people who, like David Icke, for instance, you know, he tells you 10 things about, you know, what's going on in the world. And those are all factual, but then he confounds it all with alien reptoids. So then you immediately, any intelligent, rational individual immediately, you know, sticks, you know, will begin taking what he says and they discredit it because of the last little bit that he throws in there. So the problem becomes, though, is that when anybody else starts talking about the other things that he was actually telling the truth about, you know, government corruption, things like that, they immediately think of David Icke and think, oh, I heard that before. That was from that guy David Icke, and you must be crazy just like him because he was saying that exact same stuff, and you're going to get to reptoids soon. I already know this pitch. I bought the book. I gave it away. I gave it to Goodwill, you know, because I couldn't even stand having it in my house. You know, so they do a lot of damage out there, and that, you know, therein comes a problem. You know, we have people that need to be entertained. And unfortunately, you know, the Patriot community has become a source of entertainment. It's become a clique. It's become a fad, if you will.
Yeah, or at least a highly marketable type of thing, and it's kind of interesting. A lot of people got into alternative media, I being one of them, of course, because of a more, I guess you could say, more anti-consumerist perspective. And unfortunately, what we've seen is the very corporate commercialization of something that was supposed to be, I guess you could say, counterculture or grassroots or however you want to think of that as. And it's just kind of sad. And here's the problem, and this is a very key point I think needs to be addressed, is that it's not bad to make money being one of the good guys. We need to fund ourselves. We need to get the equipment we need so that we can operate and look professional and attract other good quality personnel that otherwise would be unavailable to us. I think that's fair. What the problem is we're noticing with a lot of the bigwigs is that, again, look at what they're doing. It's constant news and analysis stuff, and then buy my book, T-shirt, gadget, whichahoozit thing, speaking engagements, and then that's it. at most, the problem solving side would be something like the example I've used ad nauseum, which is go protest and vote for Ron Paul. Or it'll be more something more vague, like go talk to your neighbors. Well, what about with people who don't have good social? I mean, how do you go talk to your neighbors? I mean, hell, that could be a broadcast subject in and of itself. How do you go talk to your neighbors? Or like Randy, like I mentioned on that previous podcast I did with you, it was episode 47. Why not? It would be great if like Mike Rivero or Jeff Rentz or any of these guys. Some of them are history buffs, or other ones have their own specialties. It'd be great if they dedicated an entire broadcast to something that would actually be helpful. I've suggested before, about why not have something about like the Constitutional Convention, and today we're going to learn about the Constitutional Convention and why it's still relevant to us today, or something. See, that would be cool. But as far as I'm aware of, that hasn't been done yet. And if it has been done, I would sure like to listen to it because that would be very, very unique. I'm just saying, you think that, again, using the example of the history buff, if someone claims to be a history buff, you think that at some point they would have dedicated, if they're into talk radio or podcasting or whatever version it is, that they would have dedicated something to something that they're good at least one time. But from what I can tell, it's usually not that. They'll weave it in with reading stacks of news or whatever. But it's never focused, and it's that lack of focus, I think, is the problem. And guys, look, it's easy to get off on tangents, okay? I do it. So I'm openly and publicly admitting I get off on tangents. But the point is I recognize it's a problem, and I try to self-correct as much as possible and stay focused. And the rest of the world just doesn't do it. And it's pretty sad. And again, notice, look, if these guys were very good at really doing it on a commercial level and rolling in the money, that would be good provided that they spent enough time with problem solving. It's not bad for somebody to have a gift shop where they're selling, camo hats with their website logo on the top, if you guys know who I'm referring to. That's not bad in of itself. The problem is, where's the focus? The focus usually is on news and analysis, and here's the 20 millionth awful thing the establishment did this week. Instead of a more proper focus, more of it on, okay, well, this particular method didn't work, let's chuck that to the side, but this other thing worked, let's do more of that, and here's this experimental other thing, listeners, why don't you go try this new thing, and we'll see how it works. That is what needs to be done. I've said this ad nauseum many other times in other places, and if that was the case, there would be no problem, because it would be understandable they would need to fund themselves. But again, look where it's going. It's all, fear, fear, fear. It's always the establishment's hurting us, and we need to resist somehow. Well, let's focus on somehow. You can still make your money, but no, they don't ever allow you to do that. Notice how that works. And in that sense, I do think that is kind of a problem.
Well, you're right. And, part of that, a lot of that problem is that, it's hard to differentiate between fact and fiction on the internet. So many people sound so convincing, but then again, they have to if they're patriot profiteers, they got to make a buck. They got to keep the hype going and the, sensationalism going or the drama going or the fear factor going to keep you coming back so you catch the latest and greatest breaking news. So, because if they don't keep you coming back, well, they lose listeners, and when they lose listeners, that means they're losing potential customers in the future, and that's where you end up at, Now, I want to talk about the other kind of useful people out there, those who are intentionally doing harm, those whose predilection, if you will, or job it is, for instance, I'll bring this one here, since I've already brought it out publicly. Several years ago, there was a gentleman named Jim Stachowiak, a.k.a. Jim Stack, a.k.a. Freedom Fighter Jim, a.k.a. Lispy Jim. He didn't like me because just like everybody else, when you come with false information and lies, and you act like you're bipolar 99% of the time, and you're just off the wall on everything, I call you on it. He didn't like that, so, of course, next thing I got to be that CSIS, you know, Canadian CSIS, FBI, CIA, COINTELPRO agent. Man, damn, you know, I need a check from all these groups, man. I really do, because I'm hurting right now. I really am, man. Where's my damn checks? I need my checks in the mail. That's what they keep telling me, though. Checks in the mail. You'll get it soon. You know, and I presented my complaints finally to the Committee of Safety Common Law Corps, because, you know, I really didn't have any way to truly... you know, there was really no way you can fight against them. I mean, how do you fight against somebody who screams racist all the time at you? You know, because you want immigration reform in your country, so you can determine what role immigration is going to play for the betterment of the country, not for the betterment of the immigrants coming in, but for the betterment of the country, for the betterment of America. God forbid we should actually care about us first. You know, so I present, you know, and he, you know, when you look back at his track record, you find that he was arrested for having a minor in his home, getting her drunk, and I guess she spent the night. He was trained to become some kind of a police officer. He was kicked out of that academy, put on probation, felony probation, I might add, and he had his gun rights given back to him during the probationary period. You know, it's things like this. Now, when you look at that whole situation, you know, and, you know, anybody who's ever grown up, you know, in rough neighborhoods or anything knows, you know, when people constantly are getting arrested around you or around somebody and that person is the only one who doesn't ever seem to get arrested, you got a snitch in the group. You know, when somebody's out there doing things in plain view that would get everybody else around, you know, that would get anybody else arrested, but they're not arrested, that means that they're there for a purpose and a reason by the powers that be. I mean, let's look at the new Black Panther Party. They openly put out a contract on Zimmerman on national TV. If I put out a contract for somebody on national TV, I go to jail for conspiracy to commit murder. They put out a contract on national TV on somebody's head, and it's okay because there's an agenda at foot, and they're allowed to do that. It's their purpose. And their purpose is to create strife and division within this country. You know, when you have people who say one thing, constantly say the same thing, you know, this is what I do, you know, this is how it should be, this is, you know, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, or whatever it is, but their actions, or they keep preaching unity, 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 but their actions, by their very actions, their actions are destructive. They destroy everything they touch. These are people now of a different stripe. These are people who are actively going out there and destroying everything that you and I try to work for and everything that these other people try to work for. And yet somehow, just like everybody else, you know, even Hitler had people that thought he was a wonderful man. You know, they have their little following and their little clique, and they will go around and attack. As you know, even like tonight, you know, so I, you know, I presented my case, my, you know, my complaint in the common law court against Jim Stack. Jim Stack was afforded every opportunity under the sun to provide his proof for these claims that he makes. You know, I'm working with neo-Nazis. Okay. Proof. Do you have any? No, he did not present one single shred of evidence. But tonight, lo and behold, you got Jimmy Wynn coming in here, dropping links, or somebody from Jimmy Wynn's site coming in, dropping links, you know, again, trying to blast me and discredit me. And, you know, I go back, you know, I find out that Jim Stack is, like, once again posting information about me, even though, you know, his claims were found false. He could not provide one single bit of proof. You know, but they keep talking about unity, they keep talking about trying to fix the problems, but they themselves are the cause of the problem. And let's think back to remember something I've said before. There was a very old lady that I listened to in the 90s who called into her very first talk show ever, a Patriot Radio, and said that she had been in this movement, this Patriot movement, for 60 years. And she says the one reason that we have never regained our freedom or control of our government is because of division, divide and conquer tactics and infighting amongst us. Now, who is causing that? Who causes that? And it's easy to see. All you got to do is open your eyes and look. You know, and I know it's hard sometimes because some of these people might be your friends. You might consider them your battle buddy. You know, you might be willing to put your life on the line for them. It's hard to see the truth, you know, when you don't want to see that truth. But all you got to do is look with an open eye and see their actions for what they are. It doesn't matter what people say. It's what they do. You know, now my group of battle buddies up here, you know, I don't even like to call them battle buddies, man. These guys are my family. You know, Captain Parker, Colonel Cross, Lieutenant Talbot, you know, hell, all of OHMM. You know, I judge them by their actions, not by the words that they say. Anybody can say pretty words. Anybody can stand there and say, you know, rah, 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 or whatever it is, or chant this and chant that, man. But you got with me, you got to show and prove. And I go by people's actions. You know, so let's look at these people's actions from now on. And I bet if the more we actually looked at the people that are involved or at the center of all this conflict and drama, we'll see the exact same people popping up, popping up, popping up. You know, it's like they're the center of a whirlpool. And everything is constantly getting sucked into them, and it's getting, you know, and they're the center of it. They're at the vortex, if you will. Now, who are these people really useful to then? Are they useful to us? Or are they useful to those with ulterior motives and agendas? Those that might not want our country being restored back to its constitutionally lawful government, with our freedoms being restored back to what they are, not what those in power would like us to believe they are not. You know, and it's always these same people, you know, that the moment they preach about freedom and all this other stuff, but the second that you actually start talking about freedom or engaging in freedom or say something that they don't agree with, well, you don't have the right to say that. That's not your freedom. You're bad. The hypocrisy is amazing. You know, and that's the easiest way to find these people is just look for the hypocrisy. You know, we're all supposed to, you know, you're only as free as you allow your neighbor to be. If you do not allow your neighbor to be just as free as you want to be, well, then how the hell are you going to be free? Because you're going to have somebody else deciding that you can't be as free as you want to be. So let's look at these people's actions and see them for what and who they truly are. And perhaps maybe, you know, if we actually started openly ostracizing them, openly, you know, filing complaints against them in the Committee of Safety Common Law Court. You know, if nothing else, you know, I mean, it has no weight or no bearing, but at least then you can say, you know what, a jury of our peers, one that I had no influence over, looked at evidence provided by both sides, and they found me to be in the right or me to be in the wrong. And then that, you know, the winner of that case can then go out there and announce it to the world, just like I've been doing with mine against Jim Stack. And if you're going to accuse me of being an FBI agent, and you know this for a fact, he says, well, then you must have seen some kind of documentation. W-4s, tax returns, paycheck stubs, something like that. My FBI badge, whatever it is. You know, so what is the agenda then for these people? And how do we combat that now? How do we isolate them? Because I truly think that that's what needs to be done. We need to figure out ways to isolate them or completely extract them from our situation and make them, well, impotent, if you will.
Yeah, it's, see, that's kind of the thing, though, is there's got to be a mechanism or at least a toolbox of things that we can use to try and kind of separate the wheat from the chaff. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the COSCLC. I mean, that is one of the most effective that is one of the most effective things, and it has been proven to work. And quite frankly, I think more people should volunteer for that and that sort of thing. I mean, I do volunteer drives at the COSCLC, like everybody knows. And, you know, it's been one of the best things to come around. And the nice thing is that you basically get a trial by jury instead of a trial by press. Trial by press doesn't really work all that much because basically it degenerates into a he said, she said. Instead of basically trying to have as much due process as possible. So, yeah, and so whether it's a whether it's a case of controlled opposition or it's a case of, let's just say, misguided individuals, whatever it is, I mean, really, a third-party arbitration is where it's at. And so anything we can do to make that happen will very much go to kind of clean house, which very much needs to be done. So that is, I mean, that's where we're at. You know, if people really want to make sure that we have something resembling a cohesive unit or whatever, then that's what's needed is to, you know, file complaints with the COSCLC. And I'll go ahead and post the link in the chat room for you guys. For you, for everyone listening later on the podcast version, that's located over at committee.org/court with a capital C. But yeah, I mean, that's where it is. So instead of like slinging mud or whatever the case is, then I mean, then you take it there, and then whatever will be, and you know, there's internal processes that make sure that it's as fair as possible, and so on and so forth. And really, and that's the funny thing too. I mean, even the proprietarian anarchists mentioned that there has to be a need for third party arbitration. So you have even other political dissidents saying there's got to be a type of self regulation that has to happen, something that will actually work instead of just this he said, she said stuff that goes nowhere. And, you know, if people are serious, what they will do is file complaints with something we know that with an entity that we know does work, a mechanism that works. But if they just want to go around the internet and say, I have proof, and it's like, well, where's the proof? But then they start insulting people. I mean, Randy, you and I have seen this way too many times. And it's just like, okay, dude, look, if you're serious, file a complaint. If you're not, then don't. But if you're not serious, then we have to assume, because we don't know anything else, that that there's nothing to go off of. And it very much is an issue of time and place. And again, not everybody who goes around the...
Yeah. You're right, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, I want to bring this up, you know, several years ago, I first started talking to Billy Burns, Equalizer, and Billy was being told information about me, specifically, you know, all the stuff that Jim Stack likes to say, and I guess is currently still saying, you know, I guess his latest one about me was posted today, 4/16/2012. So anyways, you know, Billy did a lot of research on me and started digging and things like that and tried tripping me up on my words. And, you know, my story always stays the same. My story never changes. What I do and what I say are always the same. Ohio Frontiersman was the same way. You know, but a lot of these people, you know, they that are told these things, they tend to believe me because of the way in which I handled things. You know, there was a person out there who was spreading lies, who was causing disruption, who was doing all these things, and I wanted to bring it to the public. So I took him to the Committee of Safety Common Law Court. I let a jury of his peers look at my evidence, and they found him guilty of 11 of the 12 charges, I believe it was, 11 or 12 charges. They found him guilty of those 11 or 12, and the only reason they didn't find him guilty of the 12th one was because they needed more evidence, and I just wasn't available or around. I was incommunicado at the time. Otherwise, I could have easily provided more. You know, and I've gotten kudos for the way I handled that situation, because I could have gone out there and I could have blasted him, and it would have gone back and forth to the he said, she said, he's, you know, this name calling, that name calling, this bashing, that bashing. I try to walk the higher path. You know, I try to take the moral high ground here, and I try to practice what I preach. You know, I look for solutions. And, you know, because of another disagreement I was in, or running disagreement I was in with another individual, and, you know, fighting back and forth or whatever it was, or fighting one way or whatever it was, you know, a solution came about because of that, the Community Safety Common Law Court. You know, these solutions are out there for people. You know, we have ways to start ostracizing people and to start bringing their actions to light. You know, I've got a couple cases that I'm going to be presenting here shortly, as soon as I can find time. I have less of it now because I'm working, but there's a couple other people I have in my sights now. You know, bigger fish. Much bigger fish than Jim Stack. You know, hell, I'm going after the new president of the United States of America. Not the Obama one, but somebody who's claiming to be president now. I'm going after a few people now because a solution has presented its face. You know, a solution has risen up. So, you know, maybe if we actually started engaging in these actions, in these solutions that we find readily available to us anymore, then these actions would stop. And the more we make them public, the more visible that we present these rulings and we let people know about them, more and more people will listen, and then they'll be like, oh, hey, you know what? I already read about that. I already read about this, and I heard about this, and you were found guilty of slander, defamation of character, you know, division, all these things. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, just like if we could find out that, you know, David Icke was really, you know, doing this, you know, because he was actually getting a check from some government agency to write these books to create, you know, disinformation and information overload, and, you know, trying to lead people astray because he was getting a check from the Fabian Society, let's say. Well, you know, hey, then we could start bringing that out. Imagine how much money he wouldn't make then. You know, but there are ways to handle these situations and these problems. You know, and again, you know, part of these problems that we have, you know, one of the other stances that these people make is the fact that they say that, you know, well, you know, this patriot is doing this because, you know, this patriot is bad because they're doing this or this, you know, doing whatever it is. And, you know, for instance, you know, somebody who believes in the right to self-defense. You know, then they say this person out here says he'll murder people. Well, that's not the case. This person was talking about self-defense. And self-defense just doesn't have to be against you or you defending your own life. It can be a third party. Every state has the right to self-defense laws. Well, almost every state. I think Chicago or Illinois doesn't. You know, but even then. You know, so we talk about these lawful laws and unlawful laws and these people following, I mean, yet, you know, so many patriots, you know, and again, you know, we're coming here to the, you know, to those people who are easily swayed and those people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. You know, they tend to preach freedom. They tend to preach all these things, but then in their very next actions, they obey. They obey their oppressors and they say, I will comply. I will follow your rules that you have made, that you have placed on me unjustly and unlawfully, but I will follow. And therein comes the problem. You know, and therein comes the problem, you know, because we just keep complying. You know, for instance, 1968, I forgot the individual's name now, but he was working for the Justice Department. He came in and he basically took Hitler's gun control law that Hitler presented back in 1938, I believe it was, 39. He translated it word for word verbatim, and then he presented it to the American people and got it made law. And we came up, and that's how we got our Gun Control Act of 1968. You know, if we had not complied with that, if every gun-owning American had walked out and said, no, I will not comply, that law would have been gone. Now, we have precedents to prove this, because we had another law that was unconstitutional. It was actually made an amendment, the prohibition laws. You know, the problem with the prohibition laws and why they went away is not because, the government rethought its stance on it, or the American people, wanted it, or whatever it was. It was because jurors would not convict when these charges were brought up against people. People continued to engage in drinking alcohol. How can you arrest everybody?
Right. It's just rampant.
And when you engage in civil disobedience, and people engage in civil disobedience on a large scale, and they say, no, we will not comply. We will not ask permission anymore. We will not let you tell us no like we are some child that you can make up rules for arbitrarily. I am not your child. I am a free man. I will do what I want as long as it does not violate somebody else's freedom. When we begin as a society to begin doing that, then we'll know freedom. You know, and those who talk about freedom but still cowtail to the government, they still obey in their every action, whether it's believing that you're not a good American unless you pay taxes, or you're a traitor to the cause because you'll say that you'll engage in self-defense of yourself or third parties and try to use that to defame you. Well, who's really the free man then? That individual who says, I will not ask permission, are those that attack you because you won't ask permission, because you refuse to ask permission. I hear all these people saying they're patriots, that they're true Americans, and yet they all ask for petitions to protest. They all ask for permits to protest. They all file their tax returns, just like good little boys and girls are told to, even though that every penny that they're giving away is being used to further enhance their slavery. They still go to that gun store and they buy guns, even though they're required to ask for permission by filling out a permit, or, a request for a permit. Even little things on a daily basis, getting their dogs licensed. You have to have permission to own your dog now. You can't just own a dog anymore. The state has to give you permission, or the county has to give you permission. So how soon will we be, how can we say that we are free men? All these American patriots out there who say that they are true Americans in the spirit of our founding fathers, when they still ask permission to engage in their freedoms. And by then asking permission, it's no longer a freedom. It's now a privilege that the government has granted you. So how free are they really? And how true of American patriots are they? But that's just, one man's thoughts here on that subject in itself. And I don't have a problem with police. I have a problem with bad cops. I have a problem with dirty cops. I don't have a problem with our military. I have a problem with military, though, that doesn't understand its role, its purpose, and its oath of office, and their oath to serve. And I have a problem with, military who, we're not going to get into that, but I have a problem with all these people who claim to be good Americans and who stand firmly behind that Declaration of Bill of Rights and that Constitution the Declaration of Independence and their Bill of Rights, and yet every action they do, man, is just more and more compliance with the government. Fox brought up H.R. 308, which is another gun ban law. We're going to go back down to 10 round magazines now. How many of you will give up your 10 rounders? Or how many of you will give up your 30-round mags or your 40-round mags? How many of you give up your 100-round your 100-round betas? How many of you will comply? And then when they decide to take away all semi-automatic rifles because they label them assault rifles, Man, it's just a semi-automatic rifle. I don't care what anybody says. You got a Mini 14, you got an AR-15. Unless that weapon is full auto, you have a semi-automatic rifle. No different than any other semi-automatic rifle out there, except yours might have a composite folding stock on it and rails. Big deal. Doesn't make the weapon any more dangerous. But how many people complied last time in the 90s when these gun bans came out? I tell you what, I saw people turning in guns left and right. Gun owners, card-carrying NRA members turning in their guns.
That's just ridiculous.
But I'm a bad American.
Yeah, and Randy, what I find funny about like the whole licenses and permits thing is that if you actually read through some of the better literature, various handbooks and manuals and that sort of thing, there are lots of good things that can be done. But it's one kind of common theme I've seen is that I don't see asking permission anywhere in that. It's just, look, we're going to organize and here's what we're going to do. Like one I can think of is the official manual of the Ohio Frontiersman. You know, that, you know, was one good example of several of where it was just, look, you know, this is it. You know, we're organizing for the defense of our life, liberty, and property, and here's how we're going to go do it, and here's our rank structure and everything else, and we're organizing, and this is how it's going down. You know, we're not asking the government permission to protest or permission for anything for that matter. See, that, see, the whole perspective, the orientation is completely different. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, the unfortunate individuals that we've been kind of alluding to this entire time, and if anybody has any recommendations for a kinder term, we're all ears. But they would be the guys. And actually, a lot of them are the fellows who do turn their guns in and that sort of thing, just because it's just not just because they're not really ready to knuckle down and get to work. Like the guys who say, look, I mean, this is what it is, and we're going to organize, and here's what we're going to do, and here are our plans, and that's the end of it. And whatever will be, like that to phrase this quote goes by whomever it was, let justice be done, or justice be done, let the heavens fall.
Well, you know, the Oath Keepers, you know, they have their list of 10 laws that they will not obey, or 10 orders they will not follow. And that's all fine and well, you know, but if we look at these things, that the 10 things that they're talking about, they've all been done already. The government's been doing those 10 things and continues to do those 10 things. You know, how many Oath Keepers out there that are police officers still engage in arrest warrants not handed out by a grand jury? Who weren't given indictments, where indictments weren't presented by the grand jury. How many sheriffs are still going out there and confiscating property for mortgage companies that cannot provide a deed or a deed or the note to that home? But just because they say so, they do it because they're told to. Unlawful orders. You know, the Nazis tried using that defense. We were just following orders. And many of them were hung for that. And we were told that the excuse, I was just following orders, is no excuse.
Right, exactly. Again, guys, go down that list. And, if somebody would be so kind as to go to Oath Keepers and find the exact URL where that list is of the 10 orders they refuse to obey, go down that list. And just going off of memory, it's got stuff like we're not going to deprive food and other necessary supplies to the civilian population and stuff like that. It's kind of funny, you know, under normal rules of war, doing stuff where you're deliberately harming the civilian, because usually under proper rules of warfare, from my understanding of it at least, you know, wars are supposed to be fought by militaries and their concomitant civil governments. The civilian populations were to be very minimally harmed. But of course, whenever that happens, which unfortunately pretty much happens for the most part, pretty much all the time, then you've got a major problem there. So it's not just like competing nation states competing like in some far off distant battlefield, but instead in your very own, you know, as the phrase goes, under the shades of your own trees and among your own houses and in your own neighborhoods and that sort of thing. I mean, that's not a way to raise a family. That's not a way to raise children. Goodness sakes, guys, just look at the Gaza Strip. Look at footage of that where there's with the Israeli settlements, and look at how just the entire environment of that area is so very hostile, and it's basically, I mean, they're basically under martial law. And have been for like the longest time. And it's also partially a war of attrition as well. And here's the thing, regardless of what you feel about that particular problem, I guess you could say, consider this. Would you want to live there with your spouse and children, with your family? I don't think so. And frankly, I mean, the guys who would try and do stuff like that here, or worse versions of it, no, that's not good. And so again, with that, and thank you, A. Ryan, for getting that into the chat room. Let's pull that up real fast. But yeah, I mean, there's stuff in there about...
There's a quote here I want to read real quick, and it kind of goes to what we're saying here. This is put up here by Fox. He's... One of the old hosts, you know, the Armory with Fox. He's going to be coming back on here soon. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animated contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not for your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand which feeds you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were ever our countrymen. You know, that was Samuel Adams. You know, again, you know, do you lick the hand by going and asking for permission to protest? Do you lick the hand by asking for permission to drive? Or any of these other things? Now, you know, there are some battles that just are not worth fighting. You know, I used to fight that battle of no driver's license, and for a long time I won that battle because I fought it, and I fought it properly. But, you know, man, every time I left my county and wanted to go somewhere else, I had to fight the battle all over again. And how many counties are there in the U.S.? You know, but there are some battles that I refuse to give in on, and I do not obey at all. There are some laws that I just do not obey at all because they have no right. And I will not give in. And some of those laws are biggies. I mean, you know, hell, I was told, you know, some of those are ones that, you know, I'm a good American because I do this, or I'm a good American because I do that. Well, those are the laws that I don't believe make you a good American. I believe that makes you a follower. I believe it makes you a misled and misguided and disillusioned American if you follow those rules and those laws. And it makes you even more dangerous because you believe that unless you do those things, another person is not a good American. That becomes a dangerous little thing there because, you know, those Nazi brown shirts, you know, those Hitler brown shirts, man, they believed that they were doing the right thing by Germany and for Hitler and the country. They weren't doing the right thing for anybody but Hitler and his little party of Nazis.
You know, something else I noticed too, Randy, is, you know, obviously there was that blog post of mine that I think was mentioned before. It was the one on leaderless resistance and overview. And, guys, if you go over to the Last Bastille blog located at The Last Bastille, Bastille is spelled B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E, thelastbastille.wordpress.com, go to the search bar and type in leaderless resistance and it should pop up. You know, something I've been noticing with the, I guess you could say, somewhat genuine, misguided individuals is that they do not want to follow even lawful orders. Like, it's been a consistent trend I've noticed. Like, they have this weird, I don't know if anathema is the right word, but a bad, it's like throwing water on the witch. you know, you mentioned, and it's like, I'm not saying like following like unlawful orders or orders in general. I'm saying follow lawful orders, and they're just kind of getting all jittery. And then some of them will wax eloquent about leaderless resistance, and then they get it wrong, and they even get the concept wrong. And so I've seen that as a very consistent trend, which I think is very unfortunate. So when there is an attempt to actually organize people in any way, shape, or form, but when one of the proposals for, like, maybe a specific organization, whatever it is, would have something like a chain of command, then it's like, oh, no, that's evil, that's bad, we can't do that. And then they you know, claim to want to do LR, but then they do LR incorrectly. And then stuff falls apart. I mean, I've seen that happen too many times.
There was just a little conversation going in the chat room, you know, about, you know, Sheriff, apparently, who was it, Sergeant Rutledge? Or, yeah, Sergeant Rutledge. Apparently they have a good sheriff in their county. He was vetted by the Oath Keepers. There were three Oath Keepers vetting that sheriff, and apparently he doesn't foreclose on property for past due taxes, property taxes. Because let's remember, any law which violates the Constitution or the people's freedoms is not law. So just because they made it law does not mean it's lawful. So apparently, you know, this sheriff doesn't confiscate property because of past due property taxes. You know, things like that. You know, let's remember, you know, some of our laws, you know, our freedoms could not ever be infringed. You know, the right to keep and bear arms. It didn't say that we could, you know, we had to carry them in the open or whatever. We should be able to carry them however the hell we want. Me, I like to carry open. I believe a visual deterrence is, you know, I believe in visual deterrence. People are less likely to try anything stupid with me if they see a 45 on my side. Or on a shoulder harness or wherever it happens to be. They're less likely to. Now, but if I want to carry concealed, I should be able to carry concealed. You know, these things are not privileges. They're not open for discussion. They're not open for negotiation. When two people negotiate, somebody loses. When two people compromise, somebody loses. Now, that's the very nature of compromise. When you compromise upon your freedoms, you lose a little bit of your freedom or a lot of it. We cannot compromise on this. I am steadfast in that. We cannot compromise at all. You know, but how many of our patriots out there will compromise on their freedoms in the end? And now, again, have they fallen into that category of individuals we were just talking about earlier? Have they become useful now to some other groups?
Well, I mean, it's quite possible. Again, even if it's unwittingly doing it, that could very much kind of like an agent of chaos. I get, well, okay, I shouldn't use the word agent, but let's say a instrument of chaos, I guess you could say, would actually be very apt. In fact, who knows? I mean, maybe the new term should be instruments of chaos is still kind of pejorative, but I mean that's the other thing too. I mean, it's just so they'll pick their little. I guess I could say cause, but I use that term extremely loosely here. They pick their thing, their little token item, if you will, and then they market the hell out of it. And they'll post stuff on Facebook about like this one, compare the overall scheme of things, this one fairly minor thing. And act as the most important thing ever. They'll post it on Facebook. They'll make YouTube videos. They will get on a blog talk radio. They'll do call-ins to blog talk radio and say, this is the most important thing ever, man. You know, they'll do it depending on the nature of what the thing is. They'll even do fundraising type things for it. And then, you know, that goes the way it goes. But, you know, this is just stuff that's acknowledged. And then it's interesting to see, you know, whether it works or not. And a lot of times it doesn't. So... And again, it's pretty sad where, you know, see, here's the other thing, too. Like, if you are going to do a leaderless resistance type thing with whatever it is, you know, you have to have self-discipline. And with a lot of these unfortunate individuals and organizations where they are very much unwittingly doing stuff, or at least the effects of their actions are, there is no discipline for the most part. There just isn't. And so, you know, God forbid you should mention about, even if you don't actually say that their organization should be an actual military organization, but you simply use the military as an example, and you mention about, look how a chain of command works. Here, you know, you follow the lawful orders of your duly appointed or chosen superiors, depending on how the case is. I mean, for example, if you look at, like, the U.S. Marine Corps enlisted ranks, you know, for example, your, you know, E6 staff sergeant would have to follow the lawful orders of, say, your E7 gunnery sergeant. And likewise, you know, the private, the E1 privates would have to follow the orders of, you know, technically both those guys, unless there's a conflict and whatever. Now, obviously, that's an example. You know, same thing, too, with, you know, commissioned officers. You know, your second lieutenant would have to follow the lawful orders of his captain. And obviously, going between the two, the even your you know, E9 first sergeant would have to follow the lawful orders of his major. Now, obviously, if you're setting up a type of organization, you can come up with your own terms and stuff like that. But again, it's interesting bringing this up in this, like, phew. Or, heck, that's not even with a chain of command. Let's say you want to try and organize people according to certain, like numerically. You know, for example, your standard fire team's like four guys. I think the next one up is like your squad, if I'm getting the terminology right, which is approximately like two or three fire teams, or at most a baker's dozen. And then your, I think it's a platoon, which is it's like 25 to 50 some odd people or whatever it is. Now, obviously, if you're setting an organization where you want to have different types of units of different sizes, and depending on how complex you want to make it, you can definitely play around with that, especially if what you have is not a military organization of any kind. But it's interesting, even for stuff that's fairly kind of run-of-the-mill, you know, more citizen-type stuff. You know, you mentioned about any sort, you know, I've talked with people about, hey, why don't you try this? Try, you know, having, and it's not just like having a national organization with chapters, because that's the usual default model. Instead, let's try something different where it's more grassroots. Try forming like the equivalent of like a fire team first. Don't call it a fire, because obviously that's not the function. Call it something else, like, you know, so anything else. But, you know, play around with it and, you know, make sure that each one has its own leader, and then they follow the other, you know, three guys follow the order. And do it that way. And, you know, if, and since this is all voluntarily based, nobody's being conscripted, no one's being forced to do anything here, then obviously if nobody wants to participate in that chain of command, then they're always free to up and leave, obviously. But it's interesting on the more activist side of things, when you're dealing with people who say, you know, usually spend a lot of their time with the Anunnaki or whatever the, you know, distraction of the week is. You know, you mentioned about any sort of real organization and they ruffle their feathers and say that's, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, when in fact, if anything, that's one of the, at this stage in the game, that is actually one of the relatively few things that does work. is organizing people in a somewhat in a formal and disciplined manner. I mean, again, the kind of like what I mentioned earlier, again, in that Ohio Frontiersman manual, they have their own way of actually organizing people, which I was very impressed with, very impressed with. And it was a completely different way of doing it, at least from what I noticed. But, you know, more of that needs to be done. And you can apply it. I mean, heck, you can even have a run-of-the-mill, you know, free market environmentalist type do the same thing, or whatever the case is. But then it's interesting to see, you know, folks, some of those folks who, you know, prefer to look at, you know, the pupil, I'll say the proverbial pupils of George, you know, Bush the First, and see if they're swimming with black oil or whatever it is, and say, oh, that I prefer to spend my time with that. I don't want to organize people. You know, can't possibly do that because I'm a leaderless resistance cell, even though I don't understand how it works. And that's kind of a problem. And then they assume that with following orders, that if you follow orders of any order is bad. And it's like, no, that's not the case at all. But then that kind of flies over their heads. So this is the key point. They can't understand something as basic as lawful versus unlawful orders, but they want to get into all this really kind of metaphysical stuff that is really kind of innocuous and is kind of cerebrally demanding. And that's the nice way of putting it. So it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like saying, I want to drive cross-country, you know, four times between, you know, the Atlantic, between both coasts, east and west coast. But here's the problem. We only have, like, half a tank of gas in there, and we don't have anybody to pay for gas. It's like, well, you need to – see, again, it's, you can't lift – they can't lift the 20 pounds, but they spend all their time trying to lift 150 without, you know, working their way up. It's, again, the same thing rationally. It's a constant problem I'm seeing happening over and over again with whatever the case is.
You know, again, so we come down to the fact, you know, we have people out there that are easily swayed, easily misled, easily misguided, or they're intentionally misleading and misguiding others. And like Samuel Adams said, you know, we ask not for your counsel or your arms. You know, there's four exits conveniently located in this country, like Colonel Cross says. The north, south, east, and west. If you get lost, we'll help you find your way to the nearest one. If you don't like it, man, go somewhere else, you know. But, you know, we get down to the point, though, you know, where we have, I think we have a duty, I say that we need to spend less time online. And this is a fact, you know, as many of you have seen, I have not been around much. You know, even before I started working, I just wasn't around much online. I have grown tired and weary of it. I've grown tired of the games. I've grown tired of the shenanigans. I've become vexed by this whole patriot cause. You know, the patriots within it. The more I learn about human nature, the more confused I become. You know, so I've taken myself offline and started spending less and less time online. You know, but I think we also have a responsibility to everybody else out there, though, to, you know, to bring the troublemakers to light, you know, to present what we know about individuals. And whether it's in the Committee of Safety, Common Law Court or some other venue, you know, have a jury of our peers or, you know, some group look at them and say, yes, we have looked at this, and we believe that this individual is guilty of this, 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 or this, or whatever it is. And let's take that out to the people. You know, I think we have a responsibility to do that as well. You know, when Benedict Arnold was doing what he did, you know, it wasn't just kept secret and silent. They spread the word. He became known, and to this day, you know, his... In America, you know, there's two names you don't want to name your kid, Hitler and Benedict Arnold.
I like that one.
You know, so let's look at, you know, I think we have a responsibility on that end. You know, I think that, you know, we also have a responsibility, though, to try and take those people who are misguided, maybe not the instigators of that misguiding, but those who have been trapped by it, and help lead them to the right path and help show them that, you know what? Does it really matter if the Masons were behind this? You know, it's been kept a secret for, you know, if everything you're saying is true, it's been hidden for hundreds or thousands, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. Do you think it's really going to come to light now? And does it really matter? Because if we actually restore a constitutional government, it won't matter what their plans or their plots are. They won't happen because we'll have constitutional lawful government again being watchdogged by every single American out there. Or enough of us, where we will put a stop to it again. Maybe this time we won't fall down on the job. You know, or, you know, these conspiracy theories, well, they really don't really mean shit. Because if this country was under control, if our governments were under control, whether it was the federal, the state, the county, your town, nothing they wanted to do would be effective because it wouldn't be allowed. If it violates that declaration, you know, the Bill of Rights, if it violates any of the constitutional laws, it wouldn't matter what they tried to do. And hell, they might even get arrested for subversion. But that's a, you know, that's what I think that's what we need to get to. You know, some people call it infighting, you know, but, you know, and there, you know, if you say something about somebody that you know for a fact and you present evidence, some people call it infighting. You know, when Benedict Arnold was outed as a traitor, that was not infighting. People were presenting facts and warning others and letting people know what he did. It was not infighting. Who was it? Madison and Jefferson that hated each other? I believe it was. Now, that might have been infighting. But they didn't let that get in the way of conducting business. I don't have to like to work with you. I can hate you and I can still work with you. As long as we're working towards the same goal, it doesn't matter if I like you or not. Let's just get the job done.
Right, and if memory serving me, Randy, it was Hamilton and Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah.
Yeah, because remember Madison, Jefferson sent a bunch of books to Madison in preparation for the Constitutional Convention, so they were definitely on good terms. It was Hamilton and Jefferson because Hamilton wanted a big central government and all that kind of stuff. Rothschild agent and the rest Hamilton. Of it. I read a lot of Hamilton's stuff, and I only agree with him on, like, one minor point. Everything else is, like, you know, kind of a little bit of a heart attack there.
I don't know what is going to be the catalyst here. I really don't. Whether it's economic collapse or tanks in the streets, I don't know what it is. But I know no matter what it is, it's going to be bad. You know, we cannot continue to go on with the economic plan that we have in place right now. That's a given. We are going to collapse. We cannot go on with the welfare state that we have now, corporate and personal. Corporate and individual. We cannot. We cannot go on destroying the American culture by allowing it to be subverted by every immigrant from every known third world country in the world. Because then we won't be America anymore. Remember, at one point, man, America was where everybody wanted to come to because we were free. Now everybody wants to come here because we have free money. You know, we cannot survive this. So I don't know which way it's going to go, whether it's economic collapse, that big, huge fault line up here by Ohio and all these other states.
Randy, with a lot of the most of the rest of the alternative media doing their news and analysis side of, like, the 20 million thing this week that could, you know, basically cause the thin veneer of civilization, as James Wesley Rawls likes to call it, to totally collapse. The tripod of civilization is also what's referred to totally collapse. Could be caused by any one of literally two dozen things could easily do it. And, you know, especially if some of them were done in concert. Right, that too. I mean, any one of these things.
Thank you, OF. I appreciate that. The New Madrid fault. I was trying to think back in my limited Spanish now, even though my last name is Mascareñas, and I used to speak Spanish fluently. Hell, I haven't spoken that language in 30 years, 40 years, 40 years, almost, somewhere in there. I couldn't remember what the hell the name of it was, the New Madrid Fault. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, Gary Hunt is in the chat room. He said, our strategy should be to take the initiative before the collapse. I agree with that. Now, what kind of strategy is that? What kind of initiative is that? I don't know. You know, if it's economic collapse, we should have outlets. We should have some kind of infrastructure already created to give people an option instead of going to government, you know, instead of having to take the government handouts. I know we're engaging in search and rescue training and all kind, you know, disaster relief and things like that up here. with OHMM, and you know, we want to get to the point where we don't need FEMA. You know, FEMA comes to show up, man, the problem's already well in hand, and we can just tell them, hey, we don't need you here, get out. You know, but whatever it is, though, you know, that infrastructure needs to be in place, or whatever it is you're planning on doing, yeah, I agree, the initiative needs to be taken beforehand. I mean, if you have no options for people when things get bad, the people will have no option except to turn to the government. Or to become predators. And there will be predators. No matter what happens, there will be predators. And the question is how will we then protect the people from those predators? Do we have any plans in place? Now, if we fail to plan, we're obviously planning to fail.
Right, and you know, there's some interesting kind of back and forth in the chat room between certain folks, and it's kind of centering on the idea of about whether major action should be taken, you know, pre or post collapse, or kind of again like in Rawls's other book, the novel he wrote, Patriot's Novel of Survival and Coming Collapse, he called it the crunch, and it's interesting because I do think some amount of time should be spent on post-collapse strategy. However, that should not serve as an excuse for not getting the ball rolling beforehand, which is why the plan for the restoration of constitutional government is so important. Because that's stuff we can start doing now, pre-crunch. And yeah, the ideal situation is that the COS are operating, you know, in most of the country pre-crunch. That's the best possible situation. That's the ideal one. That's one way things could go, but again, it depends whether people are going to take with it and run with it and not only set up COS, but also do it right. If that happens, then yeah, we'll be in a position to really kind of make things go. You know, if not, then other measures might need to be taken. And I think actually one interesting thought might be, if for some strange reason COSs are not set up enough before pre-crunch, is it possible for COSs and thus the plan to be enacted post-crunch, depending on how things happen now? And I think that's an interesting academic question that could be tackled at a later time. But again, at the end of the day, I mean, we need to be doing stuff now. You know, excuses.
I come from the sales world. You know, my background is in sales and big, you know, big business and everything like that, and you know, there's been this mantra in every business, you know, since, I even forgot who said it, man. Maybe it was the, you know, Carnegie or, you know, one of the great sales gurus in the world. I forgot which, man. But, you know, there's that old mantra. If you fail to plan, you're planning on failing. You know, you have to have contingencies for everything. You know, like Gary said, you know, if you don't have a flat, if you don't have a spare tire and get a flat, you will regret it. And also, what are the plans? And are you just preparing for one thing? And if you're only preparing for one thing, well, then what happens if that doesn't happen, but something else really bad does? You know, whether it's economic collapse, it doesn't matter whether it's man-made or natural disasters, you should have contingency plans for all different kinds of things. You know, a lot of it's going to look the way, I mean, you know, social chaos is social chaos no matter how you look at it. And a lot of the things are still going to be there, but not all the plans are going to look the same. I mean, you know, what if one day China decides to, you know, get kind of feisty or spunky, or, you know, the super ninja robot zombie Nazis invade the U.S. and they want to, you know, bring about their super ninja robot zombie Nazi government with them. What would we do? You know, our response to that would not be the same as if the New Madrid fault line went. You know, there's different responses for different things. So what would we do? And if you don't have contingency plans for these varying, you know, for these various scenarios, you're screwed. You really are. You know, and there was not going to be any lube involved in this one. You're just screwed. Rough, violently. You know, so it would behoove people. You know, I see these preppers on, you know, I don't see these preppers. I hear about them on TV, you know, from some of my guys, and they tell me about them, and I don't watch TV. I might watch a movie here and there on DVD or something like that, but I don't watch TV. I haven't watched the news in, I can't tell you how long, years. I just don't watch TV. I haven't, decades now, I can honestly say, at least 20 years, I haven't really watched TV. I understand TV. It was my industry. I know what it's about. I know the whole technology behind it and what that technology is being, you know, does to people and what it and what it's used for. But you know, I hear about these preppers, you know, and they're planning for this contingency, you know, but they're really only planning by themselves or their immediate family. Well, good luck with that one, Chief. No man is an island, and we cannot survive on our own. That's a reality. You know, good luck with that. You know, let's say the New Madrid does fall, or that, what is that, the caldera volcano up in Yellowstone? Let's say that blows. Whole country goes to crap. You really think you're going to survive on your own? Government's going to go into hiding, you know that. They've got bunkers built underground all across the country with tens and tens of thousands of miles of highways big enough for big semi-trucks to go through. You and I will be left up here to fend for ourselves. And I don't know anybody who can fend for themselves against a concerted attack by predators. Even if you got five or six people in your family and everybody's well-equipped and well-armed. Good luck with that. You got 20, 30 people storming your castle there. Well, remember, your home is not cover. It's concealment. That's all your home is. Your home is not cover.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's kind of important to... So in the effort to not fall into the trap of being folks who... Yet who just are misguided individuals and that sort of thing, let's really kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. And there's already several things on the table. We've already mentioned some things earlier, and you know, let's go from there. And also there's something else too. I mean, let's also not provoke each other unnecessarily. See, misguided individuals, I've also noticed they like to provoke. Or if they don't like to, I've seen a habit where they have a tendency to really provoke folks with very inflammatory statements and that sort of thing. Let's not do that. See, control opposition doesn't always is not the only batch of folks to do that. Also, just misguided folks who, you know, self-aggrandizement or whatever the issue is, do it too. So let's don't do that. You know, have diplomatic tact. That's one of the best things to do. Heck, diplomatic tact, if you broadcast you know, topic in and of itself. But that is one of the very best things that can be done. And also understand, you know, there's nothing wrong with following lawful orders and having a chain of command. There's also nothing wrong with having an LR cell structure either. And yeah, there's also no need to reinvent the wheel. So let's push on and move forward and you know, treat each other with common human decency, and everything should be fine for the most part. At least I would hope so.
I know, you know, again, you know, it's like everything else, you know, committees, like we're talking about, there's a chat going on in there about committees of safety and, you know, when they'll be effective and when they'll be needed or whatever. You know, even if you don't have a committee of safety fully established and up and running, I mean, even then, you know, our committee of safeties are not going to have any powers, you know, as long as people are willing to kowtow to tyranny. You know, but then again, trying to establish something after the fact, after it's needed, is not going to work either. My goal is to establish at least a skeleton, you know, a skeletal system of a committee of safety here in Ohio, and if not everywhere else, at least just here in my county, maybe a couple counties surrounding me. That way when things go bad, they'll already be up and running. There'll already be people that are experienced in working with each other and have some general guidelines and plans established. That way, if things go bad, there's something for people to turn to. There's options now. I don't like doing things on the fly. You know, Well, except for this broadcast. This broadcast I always do on the fly. I do speaking well on the fly. I think on my feet. But anything that critical, you know, I think an infrastructure needs to be created beforehand. You know, I mean, how will you get a committee of safety up and running after the fact, after it's needed? You know, I think that's going to be difficult. I think these are things that we need. I mean, if that's the case, you know, why even bother with militia? We'll just get them established after the fact as well. I mean, why bother to train now? We can just do that afterwards with those people that are left. Whatever it is. You know, with whatever the situation is, I mean, we'll just get those people up and running afterwards. You know? So, you know, but again, you know, well, look at that. It's already 11 o'clock. Hell, shit. I got to go, people.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, Randy?
I got to go. Yeah, it's getting late, and I got things to do tomorrow, man. I got a full work schedule ahead of me and everything. I got to run. I got to go. There's not going to be any more 11:45 broadcasts of me getting off then. Listen, everybody, I want to thank you for listening in. You know, like I've always said before, you know, you don't listen to me, man. You know, don't believe me. Don't believe anything I say. You treat me like a politician. You verify everything I say. And if I'm wrong, you call me on it. I'll be more than happy to correct myself on air. I've done it in the past. I'll be wrong again in the future. You know, but you should be that way with everybody. And never bow down to somebody just because, you know, everybody else is bowing down to them. There are no messiahs in this patriot movement. You know, true leaders are forged. Like I put up in the chat room. This is a quote from Randy Mack now, damn it. I'm tired of quoting other people. I'm going to start quoting myself. You know, true leaders are forged in the cauldrons of fire. That means that true leaders are forged in adversity. You know, they're not people that step up to the plate and say, I'm your leader. Like so many of these patriot leaders try to do. You know, the best leaders are leaders who don't want to be leaders. The best leaders are people who don't want that, who don't seek that responsibility, but they'll take it on because they're needed, because it's a must-have. And, you know, but just because they're self-proclaimed leaders does not mean you do not have the right to question them. Well, you're allowed to question government, but not them? You know, and if you question somebody, they should be willing to listen, and they should be willing to discuss and explain. But when you start questioning people, and they start flying off the handle, and they start getting irate and belligerent, well, you're not dealing with a leader there, you're dealing with a psychopath. It's like not all psychopaths are Freddy Krueger and, you know, hockey mask wearing Jasons. In fact, you know, Harvard did a study on all of the politicians sitting up in Washington, D.C., and they found that 100% of them exhibited psychopathic behavioral traits. 100% of them. Psychopaths crave power, whether that power is power over others through law or physical power over others like bullies, or they enjoy the power of taking life. Whatever that power is, they crave it. They need it. And if anybody challenges that authority, they get angry. So, next time you find out that you're being presented by a leader or you see a leader up there and all of a sudden his actions just don't match up to his words and you call him on it or her on it and they get irate and belligerent, that's not a leader. That's a tyrant in the making. They need to be put down. You know, you take away that power from them. You expose them publicly. You make it so everybody knows just the type of person they are. And yeah, you know what, unfortunately, man, you're going to have sycophants that will follow them around and lick their tail, you know, forever and a day. But the smart ones will say, you know what, you're right. Time to cut strings with that individual. Time to ostracize him. Time to relegate him to the corner with a big dunce cap on his head. So, because it's lacking in getting shows set up and everything like that. I just have not had the time. So, OF, you want to come on? We'll get together and we'll talk sometime. Round table or not, okay? In fact, hit me up tomorrow or something like that. Email me or something, randymack@youhavetreadonme.com, or hit me up through my Skype, and we'll get together soon and we'll chat about that. Maybe this Sunday or the Sunday after, whatever it is. We can discuss things, and we'll go from there. We'll just talk about different militias, where they're formed, and things like that, because you and I have differing ideas on them and how they what they are and how they should be. I think some of our ideas are the same. Many of our ideas are the same. I think we just have differences on the particulars. So we'll go from there, and we'll see what we can come up with. We'll see what is and what isn't. I do love new ideas. You know, whether my ideas are the better ones that happen to come out at the time or somebody else has a better idea. It doesn't matter to me as long as we get the best ideas out there. Or multiple ideas. let's see, what is this thing over here? I just got something. Tomorrow, over at truthfindersnetwork.com, we got Scary Carry at 4 p.m. and Oath Keepers of America at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both those times are Eastern Standard, by the way. Scary Carry is at 4 p.m. and Oath Keepers of America is at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. I guess Oath Keepers have got a new I know they had a new broadcast on Truth Finders, but they're starting off tomorrow. So we'll have Oath Keepers of America on at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have Scary Carry on at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll have your name, Sleepy. You'll have Sleepy Salsa on next Saturday. What's your topic next Saturday, Sleepy?
Wait, you mean this Saturday?
This coming Saturday.
Yeah, this coming Saturday. It's it's the much awaited episode. Listeners have been telling me, dude, got to talk about guns. Do at least one thing about guns. Well, fine. Due to listener demand, I am doing the one podcast about guns, and that's going to be with Fox. So that should be at, what's my time slot again? I know it's an hour before yours, so I believe it's 7 p.m. Central. So that was 8 p.m. Eastern. Great.
Fox is a good man to talk about guns. That's what he used to do for a living. He used to work on guns. He went to school for that, learned all about guns. Good man to know when you're talking about guns. My next show, I don't know. I will let you know. April 19th. What is April 19th? When is April 19th? That's what, this Thursday?
Thursday! And you guys should all know what the 19th is.
Yeah, you know what, Fox? That's a good idea, man. You know what? We might have a show this April 19th. I don't know. We might do it early. We might do it later. I don't know. I got to check and see what my schedule is. But plan on something for April 19th, all right? Probably the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, if you want to be on it, man, come on. It'll be a happy get-together. If you want on, let me know. Email me at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. We could do like an open mic thing, just do a whole bunch of people on, and we'll talk about a bunch of different things. Because I know I get tired of hearing my damn voice. So April 19th. If you want to do something on April 19th, hit me up at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. Or you can Skype me at randy_mac on Skype. We'll go from there. With that being said, everybody, Joe Martino's book is for sale. I'll get some new copies in here very shortly. Here in the next few days, I'll have new copies in. Those will be going out. I know some of you have ordered and are patiently awaiting them. I apologize for the delay. That was I set in my EIN number, my FEIN number, instead of my state tax ID number. Only reason I even have a state tax ID number is because they won't sell me the publisher won't sell me the damn book without one. I couldn't even get the damn books without one, but they didn't realize that I set up in my EIN number instead of my state tax ID number by my last shipment. But they caught their mistake this time, and now they forced me to go get them. And I think this book is important enough that I cowtail to them in this instance, because I do want to promote this book as heavily as much as possible. I want every American to have a copy of this book. So you know, the link is right there on the chat room page. Just click on that little picture that talks about it. It'll take you right there. You can buy the book, $17.99. Everybody who reads this book, they'll agree this book is a must-own. It is a must-own. It's a primer from A to Z written by the, not one of, but the insurgency experts for the U.S. military for almost 20 years plus, I believe. This was the greatest mind the U.S. military had for insurgency and counterinsurgency. And now he wrote a book for people that are worried about tyranny rising up. It's the only reason I'm even selling this thing. That book is that good. I've never sold anything on this website. This website was not for commercial profit or gain or anything like that, like so many other ones are. This book I sell for that reason, because it is that important. So if you don't have a copy of it, let me tell you, you're missing out. You know, I've been doing this now for 20-some years, and let me tell you, I've read that book 40, 50 times now, and I get something new out of it every single time. Things I never even thought of thinking about. So grab your copy. Grab it from me instead of eBay. eBay doesn't need your money. I could use your money. I could use your help. So grab it from me. Screw eBay. Help a fellow patriot out. And at the same time, help yourself out. Expand your mind. Expand your thought process. And come up with some new ideas and some new tactics and strategies that are, and a whole bunch of ideas that are still discussed in that book that you'll probably never hear from anybody else ever. With that being said, everybody, be safe. Be free. We'll see you April 19th, I guess. Hit me if you guys want to do something. If nobody is interested, well, then maybe we won't do something. But I hope some people are. All right, everybody. Be safe. Be free. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, the British are coming. The British are coming.
Now the ride of Paul Revere sent the nation on a tear, and the shot at Lexington heard round the world. When the British fired in the early dawn, the War of Independence had begun. The die was cast, the rebel flag unfurled. And on to Concord marched the foe, seized the arsenal, there you know, waking folks and searching all around. Our militia stopped them in their tracks. At the old North Bridge, we turned them back and chased those redcoats back to Boston town.
Our shot heard round the world, was the start of the revolution. The Minutemen were ready on the move. Take your powder, take your guns, report to General Washington. Hurry, men, there's not an hour to lose.
Now famous Bunker Hill, though we had lost, it was quite a thrill. The rebel colonel, Prescott Poopsie, was lying. Outnumbered and low on ammunition, as the British stormed his position, he said, hold your fire till you see the whites of their eyes. Though the next few years were rough, General Washington's men seemed they were tough. Those hungry, ragged boys would not be pleased. One night they crossed the Delaware, surprised the Hessians in their lair, and Valley Forge just bundled up their feet.
Now the shot heard round the world, was the start of the revolution. The Minutemen were ready on the move. Take your blankets, take your sons, report to General Washington. We've got our rights and now it's time to prove.
Well, they showed such determination that they won the admiration of countries across the sea like France and Spain, who loaned the colony ships and guns and put the British on the run and the Continental Army on its feet again. Though we lost some battles too, the Americans swore they'd see it through. They kept up raiding parties, hit and run. At Yorktown, the British could not retreat. Bottled up by Washington and the French, quit Cornwallis surrendered, and finally we had